Good morning. It's Sunday, the 31st of July, and you're all welcome to Ballyhenry. Welcome to those joining by Zoom, and welcome to those listening online or on CD. This morning, I want to welcome our pastoral assistant, the Reverend Johnson Lamb, who will be leading us in worship, and to thank him for his help while Niall has been on holiday. Niall will be returning from leave on the 6th of August. Next Sunday, we have Mark and Liz from Eggshell, Cambodia, and they will be speaking at our morning service, and we are looking forward to hearing from them. Also next Sunday, we have an opportunity to give an offering at the morning service and in the afternoon from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And now Nolene has an announcement she wants to make. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. Couple of things. Food bank. I actually got a wee bit tangled up last week in what I was asking you for. It's actually anything to go in a sandwich. It's because children are home now over the remainder of the summer. So anything that'll go in a sandwich, how weird and wonderful is up to you, but I'd appreciate that just for the next couple of weeks. School uniforms, I'm collecting for another 2 weeks. Then really, the only thing after that is you could put it into a local charity shop, but there still are uniform exchanges for the next couple of weeks. Any you have or any neighbours, really appreciate it. If anyone is any Glengormley High, that would be really appreciated. I think they're changing uniform next year when they become fully integrated. So people, I think, are hanging on to blazers and things this year. So if you know someone getting rid of one, if you would get it for me, I would appreciate it. Third and final thing, Meet the Neighbours is now only 3 weeks away. If you've any children going to a summer scheme, if they're going to a party, if you're taking them to the park, if you would lift a couple of wee flyers out in the foyer and take them with you, I'd really appreciate it. I've been down in brighter nights on a Friday night, handing them out and torturing everybody I could find, but you can torture some people for me too. So there's loads of these out in the foyer, and I would appreciate it if you could hand some out. Thank you.
Very much. Can you imagine her torturing anybody? I thought you were coming up into the pulpit.
Yeah. Thanks, Nolene, and we do appreciate all that you're doing, and we look forward, and we'll be praying this morning for meeting the neighbours as we go forward in these months. It's lovely to see so many folk out this morning, especially visitors to the congregation from all arts and parts, and we welcome some who are here part of a celebration or a remembrance of a special day. And we remember Reverend Mrs. Thompson here with us this morning. And we just trust that God will bless us as we share together in worship. And as William has already said, Niall will be back on duty, God willing, from next Sunday. But we come together to worship and to praise our God. And we begin by singing a beautiful old hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Come down, fixing us thy heart.
Well, let's join together in prayer. Let's all pray. Loving Heavenly Father, again, we thank you this morning that we can come aside into your presence. And Lord, you know the week that has just passed and the challenges of life that we have faced, and also the joys and the celebrations that we have enjoyed. And we thank you for every good and perfect gift that you have afforded to us. We thank you for all your tender mercies and your loving care. And loving Father, this morning as we come before you, we seek to afford to you the worship that you are worthy of, to praise you as our great God, mighty and almighty. And we ask, loving Father, that as we draw close to you, that by your Spirit you will draw close to us. We thank you this morning that it is possible for us to come into your presence, not because of anything that we have done, but simply because of all that our Savior Jesus Christ has completed on Calvary Cross. Lord, we acknowledge our unworthiness. We acknowledge our sin. And again this morning we seek your forgiveness and your cleansing. Lord, we thank you for your presence, which is ever with us. And we thank you that we can utterly depend upon you. Lord, as we come to worship, we just pray that the songs that we sing, your word as it's read, and as we consider the truths of that word, that it will continue to build us up in our faith. Watch over us as a congregation in these days. Bless, guide, and direct in all that we do. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. Now, boys and girls, good to see some of you in church this morning. I need a volunteer. Somebody who would like to come up and help me up at the front here. Oops, anybody going to volunteer? Lest I get hung on this microphone. Hold on. Yeah. Anybody want to volunteer? Somebody who could really, really help me. Come on, Helen. Nobody going to move? I'm looking in one direction. Are you going to come and help me? Come on ahead. Yeah, don't ignore me. Nobody moving? Right. I am disappointed. All right. You going to volunteer, Nolan? Come on ahead. This is my opportunity to get you into trouble. No, it's not.
I get to see you stuck.
This isn't quite a double knack. This wasn't planned. It certainly wasn't planned. Nolene, there you are.
Thanks very much.
That's a brand new toothbrush.
Yeah.
All right. We've got some nice new toothpaste as well. Bought this to go to camp. All right. I'll let you do it now, if you can watch with me.
You're going to help me? Come on.
Oh, great job. Now, this is going to be interesting. I want you to put, Nolene, just a tiny little, oh dear, the lid's still on it. Tiny little, or just as much as you want, to be honest. Come on ahead. Dear bless us all.
What would you do
to that? Hey, don't, what would you do? It'll go everywhere.
There we are.
Do you think that's enough? Do you think that's enough to clean your teeth?
Want some more?
Right. Good job.
This could take a
while. Do you like cleaning your teeth? Well, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But hey, what did Nolene do? Did she squeeze it all out, did she? Yes, that's what we do. I wonder where she squeezed it from. Oh, in the middle. I'm supposed to squeeze it from the bottom. All right. Now, this is the challenge. All right. Put it back in. Is it going back in?
No.
Why not? It's not going back in?
No. Definitely.
You're definitely not going back
definitely
in?
Definitely not going back in.
Do you think anybody could put it back in?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I'm not going to say I could because I can't. Nolene, I'll let you sit down, all right? The idea of this wasn't a hard job I was going to ask you to do. Might have been harder if I'd asked you to clean your teeth and show us how you clean your teeth in the morning. But no, the idea of this little illustration is to remind us this morning about our words, the things that we say, the things that we say. We're going to be thinking a little later on about a story or about a man in the Bible called Job. And he had a couple of friends. In fact, he had three friends and a wife, and they said lots of things to him. They said things that would upset him and hurt him. And it reminded me, as I was thinking about this week, about how powerful our words are. In the book of Proverbs, it says, reckless words are like a sword. They're like a sword. Do you ever think of your words like a sword, the things that you can do? Does anybody remember the old saying? Maybe boys and girls don't know it, but mums and dads, my sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Do you think that's true? Do you think it's true? Yes, sticks and stones will break bones, but words may not cause physical harm, but they cause us a great deal of hurt. We're told in God's word that we are to hold our tongue. Have you ever tried to hold your tongue? No, you can't do much. Sure, you can't say anything. And what the Bible is trying to tell us, that we have got to be very careful about the things that we say that can bring hurt and pain and sadness to those around us. How many times when we have got angry with our brothers and sisters, or even our mums and dads, we say, I don't love you anymore. Anybody going to volunteer and say they've said that? No, but we do at times, don't we? Or, I don't like you. Those words are very, very powerful. And you know, when we say the words, we can't take them back. We can say sorry as much as we like, but that sorry is not going to take back those words. We've got to be careful. And God's word reminds us to be careful with the words that we say because of those that we hurt. And remember that our words are supposed to build up and help others. In the book of Psalms in 19, it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In other words, we've got to think about what we say. Don't speak first. Think first about what these things are going to do to those around us. Are they going to hurt? Are they going to cause pain? Or are they going to build up and help those around us? Tube of toothpaste reminds us that as we squeeze out the paste, it can't go back in again, reminding us that what we say, what we say to others can't be taken back, and so they've got to be good. Speak once, think twice, and then will not cause pain or harm. Boys and girls, we're going to sing your hymn, Lost and Found, after which we're going to have our prayers of intercession. And following those prayers, it's the opportunity for boys and girls to leave for summer Sunday school.
It's time to jump around. was a boy who left his father's home, but found himself with pigs and mud. He came back sure that he had been disowned, though he was sad for what he'd done. But as in shame he hung his head, his father ran to him and said, what once was lost is found.
Let's join together in prayer. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for the opportunity of meeting together as your people. We thank you for this building, which is set aside that we can come to worship. But we also thank you that this building is set within a community where we're challenged to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in these days, Lord, we just pray for the witness and the opportunity for witness within our community. And particularly, Lord, in these days of preparation for our Meet the Neighbours, we ask that you'll guide and direct all those directly involved in leading the team and making the final preparations. Lord, we thank you for the impact of this opportunity in the past, and we pray again that you will lead and guide in all that will happen in the month of August. We pray too, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities that have been given to us as a fellowship to send those of our congregation into mission and ministry. We just thank you for the work of Jordan and Rachel, both in Hungary and Romania. We thank you for the time that they've spent there serving you. We pray, Lord, that it will continue to be a blessing to them and also a blessing to those that they minister to during those weeks. But we also pray for the opportunities of service that are coming forward. We think of John and Anne and Matthew as they go forward this coming weekend, and indeed right through August, in service with Agape Puppets and also the Street Outreach. We pray for them as they minister in Belfast next Saturday and Bangor on Sunday. And then right throughout Ireland as they have the opportunity of just presenting the gospel through music and ministry. We remember Katie Graham as she heads to New Horizon in this incoming week and the opportunity that she has with working with children with special educational needs. We pray, Lord, that that will be a blessing for her and an encouragement for the boys and girls that she will be working with. We also remember Ricky as he will be ministering in New Horizon, speaking of the work in Wycliffe. And we pray that your blessing will be upon him. You'll give him the words to speak and the opportunity to challenge those about this great ministry of Bible translation. Lord, we thank you for all of the opportunities that we have in quiet ways just to serve you and to speak of the Lord Jesus. We pray for the witness of our church across Ireland today. We think of the many opportunities that are given for ministry through summer teams and outreach programs. We pray that you will lead and guide. But we also remember those of our congregation this morning who are laid aside in sickness, some in hospital, some recovering at home, that they will be afforded your blessing, healing, and help. Be with our boys and girls as they head now to summer Sunday school. We pray that it will be a blessed time for them. Be with their leaders and encourage them together. So we pray in the Savior's lovely name. Amen. Boys and girls are free to leave for June.
Thank you.
We're going to join together in singing the piece, Speak, O Lord. For leading us in worship this morning. We're going to turn to God's word, and if you have a pew Bible there, we're reading from Job chapter 19. It's page 523 in the church Bibles, 523, and reading from verse 23 of the chapter. Job 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. If you say, how will you hound me? Since the root of trouble lies in him. You should fear the sword yourself, for wrath will bring punishment by the sword, and then you will know that there is judgment.
Ending there at verse 29, and we thank God for his word again this morning. Just let's pray together. Let's still our minds and our hearts as we come before God. Loving Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that it is a living word. It is your word to all our hearts. It's a word that you've given to direct our paths, to instruct our living, a word that enables us to understand your mind and your heart. Lord, we pray that you will open its pages to us this morning as we consider the words that we have read together. Guide our discussions and our understanding. For your glory alone, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want us to focus on basically one statement from this passage that we read together. A phrase I'm sure that you have heard on many occasions, the words of Job, "I know that my Redeemer lives." The book of Job, we're uncertain as who is the author of the book, and truth is it matters little because it records for us his life's experience. The book of Job is a very honest book. It's a warts and all account of Job's experience, his rises and his falls, and his ultimate restoration into the arms of God. Job himself is an interesting and somewhat mysterious character in the Bible. While most of us are familiar with Job and the trials he faced in life, little is known about his background. He's believed to have lived around about the time of Abraham, with the book of Job being possibly the first written portion of Scripture. The book opens with a description of Job being from the land of Uz, a man who walked uprightly, feared God, and sought to avoid evil. And as we're introduced to Job, we immediately discovered that he is a man who was committed to his God. Often when we consider Job, the emphasis is placed on his suffering. Indeed, it has become part of our thinking when someone comes along and in essence tries to comfort us and in fact pulls us down, we describe them as Job's comforters. And there are those of us who are sometimes Job's comforters. Thankfully, there are many of us who are those Barnabases who build up. But that's how Job has come into our thinking. And Job himself has brought great comfort and hope to many down through the ages as he has faced trials and difficulties in his life. His integrity and commitment during those times of great loss is to be admired and even imitated by those of us who walk in the way of the Lord. Our text this morning may be the greatest passage within the entire book. As one reads the book, Job has many questions that he was unable to answer. He was dealing with a season of loss and great uncertainty. However, in the midst of his pain, Job remained certain that the Lord he served and the relationship he had with him. I believe this is the key passage to Job's survival during this horrific time in his life. His awareness of the Lord. And his awareness of the Lord should serve to remind every one of us who profess faith in the Lord Jesus. Remind us that in the midst of the greatest trials and difficulties of life that we can face, there is hope and comfort that comes from the Lord. And so this morning, I want us to think about this phrase, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." There's many ways that we could have looked at this book this morning in its entirety. We could have looked at Job's suffering. We could have looked at Job's questioning of God and his contemplation of the mysteries of God. We could have talked about Job's loved ones and friends and how instead of encouraging, they pulled him down. We could have looked at Job's restoration and how that Job kept the faith. But I want us to think this morning of that phrase, how Job expressed, "Behold, my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth." the contents of this phrase came in the midst of a discussion that Job had with his friends, who had supposedly come to comfort him in his trials. And unfortunately for Job, they offered little comfort. The friends sought to convince Job that there must have been sin in his life that brought about the suffering and the great loss that he endured. Indeed, his wife had then told him, look, curse God and die, Job. Your life is filled with sin. They believed God had punished Job, and surely Job needed to repent and return to God. But by reading the book of Job, we know that God had permitted Satan to attack Job. He had lost his family, his wealth, and during a second time attack, Job had lost his health. And from the outside perspective, Job had lost it all. His life lay in ruins. And I'm sure Job wondered why all this had come about. He questioned the events in his life, and there was much he did not understand or know, and yet he was certain of one preeminent thought. Job knew the Lord. He had a personal relationship with God. He walked with the Lord, striving to honor and serve him. Job had lost much that pertained to his physical life. But he had lost nothing of his relationship with God. Not only did Job know that the Redeemer knew him. In Job chapter 1, it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Job, as he was going through all that he was going through, was unaware of this conversation. He had no idea about what was happening in his life and about his life prior to all that actually physically and mentally happened to him. But the Lord was mindful of Job and the life that he lived. And friends, this morning, those of us who are in Christ not only know the Lord, we are known by him. He is aware of our lives and he is mindful of us. That's why in John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and are known of mine. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth secure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Job knew the Redeemer, and the Redeemer knew Job. Not only that, Job knew the Redeemer that he lives. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. This may not have meant much to his friends who questioned him about his life and his integrity and indeed his walk with God. Their lives had not suffered such loss as had Job. They were not in the same dire situation that he was in. However, this single statement sums up the commitment that he had in his life and the focus for Job at that moment in his life. He may have lost all, not knowing what lay ahead, but at this point he was going to have to start over again, but at this moment in his life, he didn't know much, but he knew of a certainty that his Redeemer lived. His hope wasn't in an idol made by men's hands, one which had no power. He did not worship a monument that lacked the ability to see or hear or move in his situation. Job knew who he served, the Lord God. He served the eternal, omnipotent Lord. His God was aware of his situation. He was alive and well and able to meet whatever need Job faced. Life had not been kind to Job in recent days, but his misfortune had not altered the existence or the power of God he served. Even when Job went into a dark place, And I think this is one of the great challenges of this book. We see Job descending into a dark place emotionally and mentally, a place where he questioned God. Why has this suffering? Why are those who have no thought for God live better lives than I have lived at this moment? At one point, he despaired the fact that he'd ever been born, and he asked God, why? Why? And many of us have found ourselves in that situation where all of life seems to have crumbled around us, and we've said, why, Lord? And God understands that question, why? And the wonderful thing is, as we read through the book of Job, that God spoke into his life. And he revealed to him his power and his might and his majesty. And Job's eyes were opened and his heart was filled again with the knowledge of God and God's power. We all suffer from loss in times of our life. We're forced to deal with uncertainty that lies ahead. We cannot know what tomorrow brings. But as the old hymn writer says, we know who holds tomorrow, the future. We're not serving an idol. We are serving a living God who endured the most horrific treatment man could possibly face. He was falsely accused and condemned to death for crimes he hadn't committed. He was scourged and beaten beyond recognition by sinful men. He was crucified on a Roman cross where he bled and died. All of this had to be. Jesus endured all of that for you and me. He willingly died in our place, bearing our sin and judgment that we deserved. Jesus became sin who knew no sin and tasted death so that we could escape the righteous judgment of God on our sin. He laid down his life and purchased our redemption. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, yet his death could not hold him. Jesus came forth triumphant over death and sin and hell, and he ascended back to the Father. He is seated today making intercession for us. We have the privilege today to enter the throne of grace, making our requests known to the one who conquered death, who rose again triumphant in life. And when we suffer and when pain comes our way, when loss comes, we can rest on the fact that our Redeemer lives. He is alive and well today, and he is able to provide for our every need. But friends, that's not to dismiss the pain and the anguish and the loss that we feel. But the promise is that God is alive and his presence surrounds us. And because of his presence and his power, we are promised the wonderful gift of eternal life in him. Because he lives, we also have life. And the promise that those that we have loved and lost and have trusted in Christ, someday again we will see. Not only did Job know the Lord, but Job also knew that his Redeemer lived. And Job also knew that the Redeemer would come. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job lived many, many centuries before the coming of Christ. He lived before Jesus died upon a cross to atone for our sins. He lived long before Jesus completed that work of redemption and rose again from the dead. So it's significant that Job would say that the Redeemer will stand at the latter day on the earth. Was Job talking about the first coming of the Lord Jesus? Was he talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus? We're not certain. But what he's talking about is the fact that the Lord Redeemer was coming, and that in him there was hope. Job had had his trials, life had been difficult, he had suffered and lost much, yet his hope was not confined to this life alone. He looked ahead by faith to a time when the Lord would come in righteousness and bring peace to the earth. Job revealed the hope and assurance that he had in the Lord. Life will have its share of hardship and pain. None who live this life will escape it. It is certain. We face our own mortality. And if our hope rested in this life alone, we would live a most miserable existence. However, like Job, we can rejoice knowing our Lord will come again. He came the first time as the sacrifice for our sin. He will come again as the Lord and judge. He was taken up into the cloud as he returned to the Father, but he left with the promise that he will come again. The trials that we face may bring heartache and pain, but we have the assurance that our Lord is coming again for those who have been saved by his grace. Those words that I've read more times than enough during my ministry in John 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Job knew his Redeemer. Job knew that his Redeemer lives. But finally, Job also knew that there was life after death. Life after death. For Job, there was that clear understanding. As he said in verses 26 and 27, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." As I've said, Job lived long before Christ would conquer death, that he would bring an end to sin. But for Job, there was that unshakable assurance that he would see Jesus. He would see the Lord in all his glory. Theologically, Job got it right. The truth is that death is not the end. Death is not the end. For the child of God, it is but a movement from this world into the immediate presence of Almighty God. For Job, there was that eternal recognition within his soul that in a day coming, he would see the Lord. And unless the Lord comes again, we will all experience death. While death is certain, it is certainly not the end of our existence. As believers, when we pass through the gates of death, we experience life as we have never experienced it before. As believers, we will see God, and we will stand in his presence throughout eternity. And this old body that is broken and misshapen because of sickness will pass away to dust, and we will enjoy eternity in an eternal house created by God, this new and heavenly body, perfect as God had planned. We are confident that rather than being absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord. As Paul wrote to the Corinthian church on many occasions throughout his letters, he sought to assure the believers in Corinth that no matter what happened to them in this world, as they trusted in Jesus Christ, they were held eternally secure in the hands of Almighty God. He writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump from the trumpeter shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Job has much to teach us about living life in the midst of suffering and pain. But Job's suffering must yet his faith was not destroyed. In the midst of his pain, he was comforted knowing that his Redeemer lived. He was confident that the Lord would come and that he would enjoy the Lord's presence beyond death. Job didn't fear death because he knew that he was secure in the eternal arms of Almighty God. The statement of Job is one of the most profound in Scripture. The challenge for us all this morning is, can we say with him, "Behold, I know that my Redeemer lives"? That's only possible if we have come to that place of repentance and faith and trusted in the Lord Jesus and in his complete and finished work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for your word. We thank you for your servant Job and for all that he teaches us and so much more than we have actually considered this morning. But we just thank you this morning for that wonderful grace that you have extended to all who trust in you, recognizing that we have in Christ that eternal hope, even through the darkest and difficult and the most trying times of life. We are held eternally secure in the hands of Almighty God. Take your word, apply it to our hearts as you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn, "This Is Amazing Grace."
you done for me.
Loving Father, we thank you for being with us this morning. As we go from this place, journey with us. As we enter into this new week, we pray that you will guard and guide us, praying again that your grace, mercy, and peace will be our blessing today and forevermore. Amen.